We welcome you this morning. We are happy to have visiting with us Joel and Jeanette Warner from Sitka, Alaska, where Joel is going to be preaching for the church there. And friends of Nathan Morrison, we welcome them. And the LaBelles again from Ventura, California, we're happy to have them returning from their cruise to Alaska this week. We appreciate the presence of everyone, and each one of you is certainly important to the church here. We really appreciate your being here. We want to speak this morning about one of the 12 apostles, Nathanael, as he is named in the book of John. And our lessons in the last few weeks, we have been looking at each of the apostles as individuals and trying to see the kind of person that they were. Based on what is said about them in the Bible, it is possible to see the individual style and personality differences of the apostles, and to realize that these were men just like we are who followed Jesus, and Jesus chose them for the highest position in the church. And they proved themselves to be, with the exception of Judas, to be very faithful men. And many of them gave their lives for Christ. As Bruce mentioned, the persecutions that Christians were faced with. And many of the apostles died for Christ there in the first century. And yet as we get to know them, we see that they were men that, as Jesus worked with them and spent time with them, they needed to grow. And they had some shortcomings, and they had some strong points and some weak points. And so they spent time with Jesus. They spent more time with him than any other people, I believe, at that time, because Jesus said that he chose them to be with him. And for the next 18 months or so, they were with him everywhere he went, it seems, until he died and was raised from the dead. And then they began to take a leading role within the early church in the book of Acts. So this morning we're going to look at the sixth of the 12 apostles, Nathanael. And our study is going to be in John chapter 1. Primarily, that is where we learn about Nathanael. As we have seen, that the first four apostles, the first group, was made up of Peter and Andrew, James and John. And they were two sets of brothers that knew Jesus. They were fishermen, and yet they became outstanding, faithful apostles. And James was the first martyr who was put to death by King Herod in Acts chapter 12. John lived to be of an old age, probably the only of the apostles to do that. Last Sunday we talked about Philip, who seems to have been the leader of the second group of four, and that he was a man of great faith in the coming Messiah and sought out to know the Messiah, to find Jesus. And yet, as we saw in his time that he was spending with Jesus, that some of his natural tendencies were revealed that Jesus was aware of, and Jesus would work with him on those. And on one occasion, Jesus tested him, and he said to him, he asked the question, we've got these 5,000 people here. Philip, where do you suggest we could find food for them? And he was testing him. So it was shown that Philip was a man that had a tendency, I believe, to look at the physical side of things, and it took him a long time before he could really see truly who Jesus was and how great Jesus was. And maybe that is an area where we all need to grow in our understanding of just how great Jesus Christ really is in our lives today and what all He is able to do as the Son of God. Today then we want to look at Nathanael, and first of all we want to see that his name is interesting, because in the book of John he is referred to as Nathanael. And the name Nathanael meant a gift of God. But in the lists of the apostles, and there are four of those lists in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and in Acts chapter 1, in all four of those he is called Bartholomew. So John refers to him only as Nathanael, and the others refer to him only as Bartholomew. Now the name Bartholomew means son of Ptolemy, and that is referring to his father. So the name in Hebrew was Bartholomew, because whenever a man would be named, he would have a first name and then he would be listed with his father following that with the word bar. And the word bar in Hebrew means the son of. So his name would have been Nathanael Bartholomew. Nathanael, the son of Ptolemy. And so we see that we are finding, though, the information that is really helpful about him is in the Gospel of John and the other Gospels, where he is listed by the name of Bartholomew. The only thing that is ever said about him is just giving his name in the list. The only one that tells anything really about him is John, and we find that here in John chapter 1. So it does say, though, in John chapter 21 in verse 2, that after Jesus was raised from the dead and Peter and some of the others, they went back to fishing by the Sea of Galilee, that there were seven of those disciples, and Nathanael was one of those, and it said that he was from Cana of Galilee, telling the town that he was from there. And in that town of Galilee, where he was from, that was a close village to Jesus, where Jesus performed his first miracle, turning the water into wine in John chapter 2. But it was a very small village, and within walking distance of where Jesus grew up. So here he came to find out that the Messiah was from the next town to where he lived. And that was a difficult thing for him to accept when he first heard that and thought about it. To think that the Messiah that has been promised in all of the Scriptures is from the next village to where I live. He just could not quite hold that in his mind, that was even possible. So in John 1, 43 through 45, the following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." We find from this, the indication seems very strong to indicate that Philip and Nathanael were close friends from the beginning, that they were acquaintances. And whether they were related, or if they had grown up together, or just how the friendship, we don't know, but it seems very clear to indicate that here, as soon as Philip was asked to follow Jesus, that the first one he went to find was Nathanael. And they discussed it from the point of view that he was the Messiah that was in the Moses and the law and the prophets spoke of. We have found him. One of the interesting things, I think, in John chapter 1 is how these first disciples did this. They went and told their friends and invited them to come meet Jesus. That's a very simple thing for us all to practice when we know Jesus, to tell our friends and tell them how wonderful He is, and invite them to come to know Him. So among those first, that's how they multiplied. That's how they began to grow. And some of these was, one of these here was Nathanael. So the qualities, though, what qualities do we find in Nathanael? Because the only passage that speaks of him is this first passage when he first met Jesus. And in these verses, we have enough information that John provides for us that we can understand who he was, the kind of person he was. We're able to form a picture of Nathanael from these verses. So it's very helpful. And Jesus pays him one of the highest compliments of any of the disciples that we see. Jesus spoke of him this way right from when he first met him, which is one of the most important things that we're going to see this morning. But the first thing that we notice about Nathanael is that his love of Scripture, meaning by that the Old Testament Scriptures, which was the only Scriptures that they had at the time, were those from the Old Testament, as we now understand. Philip's statement to him here was, once again, he said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So Philip, in going to his friend Nathanael, understood the way that Nathanael thought, what appealed to him. And he presents it to him on that basis, that we have found him that is spoken of in the Scriptures, the one that we have been looking for. Now, he does not say, "We have found a man here that can give us a wonderful happiness of life. We have found a man that can show us how to have a good marriage. He can show us how to be successful in our business." It was none of those things. Those things didn't matter to Nathanael, I don't believe. He presented it to him, "Here is the one that we have been searching the Scriptures to know about, and we have found him. This is the one we have been looking for." So there, that is indicating that both Philip and Nathanael were men that loved the Scriptures, that if you were going to make a point with them to appeal to them, that is how they thought. They thought in terms of, what does the Scripture say? They were students of the Old Testament. And as they had spent time reading through the Old Testament, they were looking for the truth of who is the Messiah. We know He's promised. We know He's coming. And we are being told by John the Baptist that He is coming soon. That was the message that John was preaching in the wilderness. They had come out into the wilderness. This takes place there, as it said, that Jesus was on His way back to Galilee when this takes place. But they were seeking the truth. They were searching for the Messiah. It indicates that they were men who respected the Word of God. And they spent time searching and studying the Scripture. And whenever Jesus appeared and they found Him, they were able to see He is the fulfillment of those things that are said about the Messiah. Jesus is the fulfillment of those things. And so he was very interested in that. He was able to appeal to him on that basis. And he said, "It is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, that was the surprising thing to Philip, because we see that his natural prejudice comes out at this point. His natural prejudice, because he makes the statement here, Nazareth, can any good thing come out of from there, he said. And Nathanael said, come and see. Or Philip said, come and see. But when he makes this statement, it's obvious from that there is some prejudice that he had grown up with, perhaps, towards the city of Nazareth. And this was something that people of Galilee did not have a respect for the city of Nazareth. It was a city that the main roads came through. Apparently, it was a city that was rough people sometimes associated with the city of Nazareth. But Nathanael grew up in the city, the village, a small village of Cana. And his first reaction is, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? And that isn't based on factual thinking. That's based on emotional thinking. That's a reaction of, that just can't be. Because Nazareth is, we know what kind of town Nazareth is. And nothing good can ever come out of there. But that is a prejudice that he has. And he has a contempt for the city of Nazareth without ever meeting Jesus at that point. That's the way prejudice is. Prejudice is based on emotional. It's not based on facts. And we need to understand that about prejudice. But prejudice is very powerful to influence how people think. It's not based on reality. It is based on the attitude that I'm superior, a superior point of view, looking down on something that may not be based on any factual evidence at all. It may be handed down, it may be a general impression that people have developed over time about that, but it can be a very powerful thing. Prejudice. And we see it happening a lot in our world today. It is still a huge problem. And I believe that probably most people, most of us, have some natural prejudices that we need to overcome. Here was Nathanael, was an example of that. He was a man that respected the Scripture, that was studying the Scripture, that was searching for the Messiah, and yet he had his human characteristics. He had some prejudice that was there. Now, he might have been looking at this, if he was thinking in terms of the Scripture, he might have been thinking, well, I thought that the Messiah was going to come from Bethlehem, because in the book of Micah, it said that in Bethlehem would be the birthplace of Messiah. But that's not what he said. He doesn't say that. All he says is, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. And that's a prejudicial statement. Now, many of the Jews were like that. And we see that in the gospel accounts when Jesus came, that many people reacted out of prejudice with Jesus, and it was that kept them from ever accepting him. It says in the book of John that Jesus came to his own, and those that were own, his own, did not receive him. Why was that? Well, in his own village, he came to the synagogue of his own city of Nazareth in Luke chapter 4. And he stood up and read from the book of Isaiah. And by the time he finished that reading, they wanted to take him out and throw him over the cliff. These were his own townsmen that he grew up. And Jesus made the statement that A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own people. That was prejudice. Prejudice was what influenced the Pharisees. They had the attitude that the Messiah is coming and going to establish an earthly kingdom. And Jesus did not fit in with that understanding that they had. And so they turned against him. They turned against Jesus. Think what prejudice does. How ugly prejudice is. Prejudice is an ugly thing. Whenever you judge a person based upon a prior conception that you have, and they fall into a certain category, and you just don't like them from the beginning, that's prejudice. It might be the color of their skin, it might be the town that they're from, it can be many things, but prejudice is something that I believe sometimes is passed on down to us, and we need to overcome it as Christians. We need to work hard to make sure that we don't have those kind of attitudes within us. Well, it was an understandable thing that Nathanael had some of that, but he was a spiritual man also. And so in verse 47, we see that what I believe the most important characteristic of Nathanael that Jesus brings out here. It said, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." An Israelite in whom there is no deceit, in whom there is no guile. Some translations say, he is a true Israelite. What does Jesus mean that he is a true Israelite? Well, it's not based upon just the fact that he came down from Abraham in the physical lineage of being a Jew. It's based on much more than that, of in his heart and in his faith and in his character. He is what God meant for a true Israelite to be. It says in the book of Romans, in chapter 2 of Romans, in verses 28 and 29, that there are not all Israelites are true Israelites. He says there in chapter 2, verse 28, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men but from God." That is the kind of person that Jesus is seeing in Nathanael from the first meeting that he has with him. He is a true Israelite, in whom there is no hypocrisy, in whom there is no deceit. You see, many of the Jews that Jesus encountered in his day were hypocrites, because they would say one thing and do the exact opposite. They wanted to be righteous on the outside, but not in their heart. And Jesus condemned many of them for that. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," speaking to many of the religious leaders of the people. But here he says to this man, he says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." He pays him a high compliment. Nathanael looked at Jesus at this point with somewhat surprise, I think, and he responds to him and he said, "How do you know me?" Verse 48. "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Philip's reaction to Jesus was, "Are you just saying that, or how do you know who I am?" And then Jesus makes the statement to him. He says, "Before I saw you, while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Now Jesus was not there to see that. And Philip knew that from as soon as he said it, "How does he know that I was standing under the fig tree before, just before I came over here? How does Jesus know that? He wasn't there. There's no way he could know that." We're told that in the homes of the Jews at that time, any of them, that it was a small house that would be hot in the weather in many times of the day, and they would go outside and they would plant a tree in their yard, and often a fig tree that would grow up and become a wonderful shade tree, and that it made a perfect place to go out and meditate and pray, to be under the fig tree outside of their home, where they could commune with God. And Jesus might have been referring to that, but he makes that statement. He said, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And so now we see what is the great quality of the heart of Nathanael, that his eager faith, readiness to believe in Jesus, even though he has just found out that Jesus is from Nazareth, which to him is unthinkable that anything good could come from there, and yet he sees that Jesus makes a statement here that he cannot possibly have known or seen that happening. And Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Now that's not prejudice, that's omniscience that he is recognizing on the part of Jesus. That no matter where he is from, he just knew something that only God can know. That's omniscience on the part of Jesus. "You are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." He's been searching through the Scriptures looking for the Messiah, and Philip comes and says to him, "We've found the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. He's the son of Joseph." But now he has a personal knowledge that Jesus is this amazing person who knows what only God can know. And he accepts that, and he's convicted in his heart that Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus says to him in the next verse, he said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." It seems that Jesus may be referring here to an incident when Jacob, in the book of Genesis, was going away to the country of his mother's ancestors and escaping from his brother Esau and so forth, Genesis chapter 8, that he had a vision and he saw the ladder coming down with the angels coming down and going up on the ladder into heaven. And Jesus, alluding to that, he says, "You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." In other words, Jesus makes the statement to Nathanael here that you've seen that I knew that you were under the fig tree, and you made that connection, but I'm telling you that you will see many greater things than that. And that I am going to be the way up into heaven with God. The pathway of opening heaven opening and coming up, and the angels of God ascending and descending, that is going to be the place that you're going to know who I am as the Son of God. So this which you have seen today, there's many more greater things than that you are going to be seeing. This is all we know about Nathanael. This one incident that is revealed at the time that he has come to be a disciple of Jesus. It would be interesting to know more about him, of later developments of how did he grow in his faith, and were there other times that he spoke up and answered questions, or Jesus said things to him, but we don't know any of those things. All we know is what is said here. And the thing that Jesus says to him that impresses me, he is an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. That made him an unusual, exceptional person in the eyes of Jesus. There's not that many people like that. In other words, that their heart is so sincere that there is not any guile in there. There's not any hypocrisy. There's not any deceit. It would be great if more people had that quality. If that is something that we should all strive in our hearts to be, the kind of people that Jesus said of Nathanael that he was from the very first time. Because we're told that we are to put aside all hypocrisy and deceit and envy and evil speaking, and as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We all have a lot of built-in prejudices and attitudes, and sometimes we do things that are not really on the sincere level that they should be to one another. And we have areas in our life that there is some lack of sincerity. Jesus teaches us that we will take his word though, and we will grow and we will bring that into our hearts. It will help us remove that. It will help us have a pure heart that God wants. And God says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is something God is looking for. People like that, who have no deceit. They are just as pure as they can be, of wanting to do the right thing, of seeking to serve God. And they're the kind of person that just is made for God's kingdom to be made of those kind of people. Good as gold. And that is the kind of man that Jesus saw in Nathanael. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song if there are those here today that need to respond to Jesus, to see that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah. He will work it with you in your life, forgive you of your sins. If you come to him this morning, repent and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin, you can begin that new life that Jesus promises to us and grow and walk with him. We invite you to come then this morning, if you're in subject in any way, as we stand together and sing the invitation song.